Well, all right, so now it's back to work. Tell me what you got as far as your punch list of things to do.
Well, punch list is a good way to put it because we got plenty on our plate. Planned Parenthood is still one of the objects of discussion, and we are going to have our first hearings on that this week in the Energy and Commerce Committee. We've got to start getting ready for a debt ceiling vote to see how that's going to work out. We're going to vote on the Iran deal to disprove the president's Iran nuclear agreement. That will happen probably tomorrow. And then we need to come up with a solution to fund the government beginning October the 1st or in fiscal 2016. Harry Reid has blocked all attempts to do that over in the Senate, and so we've got to figure out the path forward there.
All right, so let's go back and break some of these down. Planned Parenthood appears to be the next stopping point where people are saying, well, we just might go ahead and shut the government down over that. So give me your thoughts on how those camps are divided and how you feel about that.
Well, let me say this. When I ask our constituents at our town hall meetings if they wanted to shut the government down over Planned Parenthood, and while they were almost universal in wanting to shut down Planned Parenthood, they were pretty reticent to shut down the federal government over this particular issue. So I will be paying attention to my constituents on that. One of the things we need to look at doing is we're trying to make sure we get it right. For instance, every time you bring up Planned Parenthood, the liberals start talking about war on women and trying to stop women's health care and things like that. And so rather than defunding Planned Parenthood, what I'd like to do is take all our funds and give it to the community health care system that we have in this country that provides real women's health care. And so I think that's a better solution. That way you can say you're really ensuring real women's health care. At the same time, you're not funding the killing of babies. So,
well, I think that's a common sense thing. But once again, the Republicans seem to have a problem being able to get that message out. And the Democrats can jump on you immediately and say, oh, well, you just have a war against women. And you want to defund Planned Parenthood.
Exactly. And that's the problem is that everybody's been saying defund, defund, defund. And that's what I was trying to introduce during our conversations with our fellow constituents over the course of the past couple of weeks, is why don't we do this smarter so that you're getting the policy right, but you're also getting the politics right as well. And unfortunately, we can't get, you got 246 Republicans in the House, and they don't always follow the same messaging guidelines moving forward. Sometimes it's damn the torpedoes and forget the consequences. I'd rather be smarter about this. I mean, I want them defunded, but I want to make sure that we get the politics right and that we make sure that those federal funds are being used for real women's health care, and again, not for the killing of babies.
Bill,
and I think it's important to go through and get the investigation right as well,
right.
And that's the reason for the hearings. Now, I think we need to defund them immediately and move this money over somewhere else where it does the right kind of good. But I think we also need to make sure we get the investigations done in a fairly timely manner as well.
Bill Flohr is joining us from D.C. Now, when you were speaking last week around the district and such, you said that you probably were going to meet at least last night with the speaker. Did that take place? Can you kind of give us some insight there?
No, he had a last-minute schedule change, and we weren't able to do that, so we pushed it off to next week.
Okay, so let's talk about this speaker because, okay, Planned Parenthood, number one, he's got people who are saying he needs to take action there. Some people don't want a continuing resolution the way that the government's been funded, and we are looking, as you said, at an October 1st deadline. Then yesterday, let's go back to Mark Meadows before the August recess. He introduced a resolution basically to vacate the chair of the speaker. Not meaning he wouldn't be, but there'd be another vote for him. So he's challenged there. And then earlier this week, one of the members of the leadership of the Republican Party was speaking to people in Kansas the day after Boehner had been there to help her raise money. She said, you know what? John Boehner works for me. I don't work for him. And she pointed out 60% of the House members are relatively new and did not serve in Congress when the speaker had that ability to dole out influence through earmarks. So that world has changed. Is it safe to say this is an embattled speaker?
Well, let's put it this way. There are a lot of people that are throwing rocks at him. Here's the question I would ask is this the appropriate time to swap out your speaker? Because if you do that, who's going to be your leader on having the debt ceiling discussions? Who's going to be the leader in terms of trying to figure out how you're going to fund the government beginning October the 1st? Those are the things I think we need to worry about. Look, the enemies of freedom and opportunity and liberty in this country are not the Speaker of the House of Representatives. It's Barack Obama and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. And to the extent that we are fighting among ourselves, then we are not advancing the cause of what the people sent us to Washington to do. And so that's where I come out is, look, is the Speaker a perfect guy? Absolutely not. Does he have his flaws? Sure, he has his flaws. You know, should he remain as Speaker? I think the question is somebody's got to hold their hand up and say, hey, I want to run for Speaker and to replace him. So I don't think it makes sense to go ahead and take somebody out before you've got your plan on how you're going to advance the strategy after that. So that's where I am on this is, well, you know, what are the next steps when you do this?
Well, you're not his political advisor and you're not paid to be, but based on the anger that is being focused by candidates like Donald Trump, if you're the Speaker, how do you come out swinging right now?
Well, I think the thing you do is you make sure that you're advancing the cause. And for instance, when we sit down to talk about funding the government over the next year, beginning at the end of this month, is you try to make sure that you're addressing what those of us, like me, as conservatives, want to see moving forward. We want a strong national defense. We want to reduce the deficit. We want to fund only those things that should properly be funded and defund the things that shouldn't be, like Planned Parenthood. And, you know, continue to restrict the funding of the EPA and some of the out-of-control agencies like that. That's what I would do. I think it's more, if you focus on what the outcomes are and what the results would be and how do you get there, I think that the Speaker could reclaim some of the ground. Now, there are some people that just aren't going to like him, period, mm-hmm. End of story. I understand that. But it's still at the end of the day, I think he's got to advance the conservative agenda because we as the conservatives were the ones that originally put him in office.
Bill Flores is joining us from D.C. Later on this week, you say maybe tomorrow, the House will be voting on the Iranian deal?
That's correct.
Now, we find out that we've got 42 votes now in favor in the Senate, so that means they don't even have to bring anything into the floor. There won't be any filibuster. Now Mitch McConnell is calling for an up-and-down vote when he really didn't have the backbone a month ago to do what he needed to do. What happens to it from your view, and is there any way to salvage this? Or scrap the deal, which is kind of what you want to see happen.
Well, you know, we can try. I wouldn't give up. I think that we need to continue to have the American people beat on those 42 senators that are putting the interest of their president and their party ahead of the interest of the country and our allies around the world. I still don't think we ought to give up on that. I think we need to have a grassroots rise to go against and challenge those 42 people about why they're making a stupid decision. I have to agree with Alan West. This is the stupidest agreement that's ever been negotiated in the history of this country.
And dangerous.
And dangerous. Yeah. It's absolutely dangerous.
Now,
and so I think we need to continue to do that. And this is one of those times where I really challenge McConnell to stop using the stupid rules of the Senate institution and put the Constitution at the forefront of everything that we do in the Senate and go to a 51-vote majority on most things like this. And, I mean, this is where I'm getting so tired of the filibuster rules blocking everything that we're trying to do to advance the cause. This is a tool in our toolbox, and we darn sure ought to use it when you got an out-of-control president.
Sure. All right, well, let's finish up with a little inside baseball type stuff. You've got a 17-member field for the presidential nomination on the Republican side. How do you break out of that field? How do you do that?
Well, Donald Trump is doing it by being angry and throwing rocks at everybody else. I don't necessarily support that style. To be, again, the enemies of freedom, liberty, and opportunity are the folks on the left, and that's where I would focus my efforts. So if it were me in this field, and thank goodness I'm not, but if it were me, I would be trying to spend all my time talking, differentiating myself from what the direction of the left is trying to take this country, and be as vocal about it as you can. It's going to be difficult because all of the attention is being given to Donald Trump. And eventually, I'm hoping that Donald Trump will come around and start attacking the real enemies instead of attacking our own.
He does know how to get publicity. There's no doubt
absolutely.
About that.
I mean, he does. The cameras are always seeking him out,
yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, he's good for a quote.
Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview on our website at WTAW.com later today. Thank you again for the time this morning.
Scott, great to be with you. I'd ask our listener to continue to pray for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
All right, look forward to seeing you this weekend.